Hello and welcome back to the Diva with Grace podcast. I am Diva by name, not by reputation.
And I am Grace. It's a popular him and I am a popular her.
Yeah. So exciting. We have our first reoccurring guest on the show today.
Yes.
Vanessa Baltinaldo. Hello, Miss Vanessa.
It's Baltadano.
Baltadano. Oh, I was so excited that I got it right. It's fine.
It's common.
It's okay. You guys, but LA traffic.
It's Vanessa, right?
It is Vanessa.
Okay, I got that part right.
That's right.
I'm usually so good with names. Welcome back, Ms.
She's
Vanessa.
Our resident mystic.
Resident, I love that.
She was in a previous episode titled Dream Job, where she helped us talk about dreams, interpretations, and it was a fun one. So you have to go back and check that one out. But welcome back, Miss Vanessa.
We're so glad. Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah, we were just saying before we started recording, I feel like I see you all the time because I'm always at 22 teachings.
That's right.
And I did say before we get into the episode fully, I did promise the listeners that when you were here, that you would be my... We were talking about manifesting and manifestations, and Grace wanted me to tell a story. I was like, I can't, it's super long, but Vanessa's a witness to it. So you can attest. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
That are we instant? Talking about the adventuring?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes.
So I won't drag this out too long. Basically, I was doing heart chakra stuff. And for those who are not initiated, there's certain colors that are represented by the certain chakras. So I really wanted something green. So I was like, green aventurine. How do you say it? Am I saying it right?
Aventurine.
Aventurine. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard good. A difference. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. And so I went to 22 teachings. It wasn't open yet. I'm like, it's okay. I walked around the corner. There was another shop. And they just happened to have crystals. And one of them was green. And it said the word love. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. But is this the right crystal I was looking for? I'm very specific. So I asked the store owner, do you know what kind of crystal this is? What's called? She's like, I don't know. She went to the back. She looked it up. She's like, it doesn't say what kind of crystal it is. It just says a green crystal. I'm like, okay. But I bought it anyway because I'm like, I could just put it on my altar.
I was feeling it.
It's fine.
Okay.
So I get to 22 teachings. Vanessa's there. We say hi, you know, and then I start looking at other crystals because I am so specific. I have to hold them. And I'm like,
you're asking me too. Like, hey, so can you help me? This is what I'm trying to do. We're like digging.
Yeah.
The
this one's this about that. And I was like, no, I came for a specific one. I just can't find it. And Vanessa looked at it and I showed her, I was like, I found this one. She's like, I think that's what you're looking for. I'm like, is it? So we weren't sure. So we grabbed this big old crystal book going through it. And while we're going through it, she's like, so what are you trying to call in?
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, just levity and joy and playfulness. That's really what I'm wanting to call in, right? She said that. Finally, she opens to it. And underneath the green aventurine, it says, like, playfulness, joy. It just literally, she's like, and she looked at it. She compared the crystal I had. She's like, Diva, you literally already have this. And I'm like,
you found it.
I found it.
Such a metaphor.
Isn't that weird?
You already had it.
Exactly.
You had it
the whole time.
And
she's
you
like,
didn't even
good.
Know.
I know. And it said, it was just so perfect. And I told her, I'm like, no one believes me when I tell them that I have the weirdest manifesting stories. So I'm like, you are my witness, and when Vanessa comes, I'm not, you guys, I cannot make this stuff up. But it was so perfect. She's like, look at the description.
Yeah.
It said everything that I was listing. It was so bizarre. It was really
bizarre.
It was a bizarre fun moment. But anyway.
I do want to just take this time to let people know that I am part of the faculty at 22 Teachings, School of Hermetic Science and Magical Arts. I'm a tarot reader. I do dream decoding, one-on-one stuff. I do crystal healing therapy, very earth-based kind of healing. And I lead dream circles, the Dreamers Council, and I do lead meditations there. So you guys can go to 22teachings.com.
Yeah, it's like a one-stop shop.
circlehealing.com to get more information about my stuff.
I'm always there, guys. You might see me there asking a million questions. One time, Frank was helping me, and I took a crystal, and I was just lying on the ground with it. Like, I'm like, don't mind me. Just to put it on my body. I'm like, well, when I meditate, I want to see how it feels like.
I mean, this is what happens at 22 sometimes.
Yeah, they were like, don't bother.
It's okay,
mind her.
This happens here all the time.
But we didn't bring you back just for, you know, to regale stories of crystal finding. Or maybe we did.
Maybe hey, go for it. I'm enjoying this.
Okay, all right.
I have to come in for the throat chakra, so I'll be seeing you soon, probably next week when I'm back in town.
Girl.
But
yes.
Thank you. How have you been since the last time we've seen you?
Oh my God, we were just talking about that. Oh, okay. Grace and I, we were just, when I came in, it was more of like, how are you doing? I was like, I don't really know how to answer that question.
Yeah,
really.
We decided there's no great way to answer that question.
I'm like, I feel like I'm coming in and out of vortexes like all the time.
Like, I'm here.
I mean, yeah, I'm
you're
here.
You're physically I'm doing, here.
I'm good. I'm yeah. good, really, ultimately. Good.
And
I'm
we're
good.
So happy that you're here.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I'm yes. happy to be here. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's jump in a little bit because I know you brought some treats, it looks like. We're going to get into some yes. really interesting things
yes.
today.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh my God, so who's this bear?
Yeah, so let us so know. Cute. Can you explain what you brought in yeah. and what's about to happen?
So I've been feeling, I mean, for a really long time, my spiritual path was ignited by my ancestors, really, those that have passed. So I feel connected with them all the time, but even more so lately. And I'm feeling called more to do that work and have people do some work on their ancestral lineage. So I thought we could talk a little bit more about that and how that is, I don't know, how we live it every day. How is it
oh
living?
God, yeah.
How are we welcoming that into our lives? And what I brought with me was a small candle and an animal totem piece that I put on my ancestral altar or ancestor altar. And he's made of antler bone. And an indigenous
oh,
woman
wow.
actually carved him. He looks like a polar bear. And he has some gemstones, turquoise, red, and blue. It's a beautiful piece. And it reminded me of one of the dreams that I had with a polar bear that was gifted to me by an indigenous shaman in the snow. So,
oh, wow.
One of the things that I use to connect with my ancestors is a pendulum. And I communicate with them to see what it is that they would feel good with on their altar. So I'm not just doing it out of like, oh, I think, and no, I'm actually using intuitively and also want to honor my ancestors to be sure that it's respectful and it resonates with them as well. So they wanted him there. And so I thought it would be perfect to create a small altar here for this intention. So I would like to light a candle in that. And in this moment, if you guys are listening and want to kind of connect with that and Grace, whoever's in this space, Diva, if we could just close our eyes for a moment and take a deep breath in and exhaling out. Just connecting ourselves to our bodies, to the space that we're in right now. Acknowledging our feet. Our entire bodies all the way to the top of our heads and just being here. And I'd like to just welcome our ancestors and our spirit guides, those that work with 100% pure light, those with good intention, and those that are looking to heal. I light this candle in offering. Thanks, guys. So, whenever you're ready, you guys can let me know how that feels for you, I guess, ultimately, lighting this candle. What does that do? Because for me, it really is, at least through my practice of what I've learned through my teachers, is that lighting a candle is an offering for those that have passed and have crossed over. Some of them are lost, some of them don't know what to do, but lighting the candle will help them in not just symbolically doing it, but actually energetically lighting the path. Sometimes they need to know, hey, this is where I can actually go and regenerate as I'm trying to find my way and my path onto further healing, whatever other stages that they're going through on the other side. And so with this, I always say that there is no right or wrong way of building an ancestor altar. If you guys are interested in doing that in your homes, it's whatever is resonating for you at the time. And as you kind of just put that practice every day, the intention is there and guidance will come through further because you're opening that practice. You're saying, okay, everyone else or all the other spirits and souls that are watching are looking at the practice that you're doing. You're opening some kind of gateway, some kind of communication, letting them know, oh, she's actually willing to kind of create this partnership. And doing something just as simple as this, having just an animal totem or a piece of jewelry or anything like that, and lighting a candle and doing that daily or whenever you're reminded, is a great way to start.
I love that. I've been, so Diva knows this and Vanessa does too. I lost my grandmother last week, and it's sort of bittersweet because she lived such a long life. She lived to be 92, and I'm so grateful that she lived such a long life.
Wow, 92.
I know. And, you know, everybody, you know, people say, like, it was her time, like, I don't know, like, that helps, I'm not sure. But just being home with my family just brought up a lot of, like, generational, like, ancestral stuff. And it's interesting because I have an altar at home, but I've been lighting a candle every day with my grandma's picture. Like sort of without even having this education, mm-hmm. I feel like it's just so, I don't know if our listeners feel the same way. I mean, lighting a candle is just so like universal in terms of honoring somebody's life.
Yeah.
Yes.
We actually did that. It's so trippy. My grandfather passed away a year ago. Like the anniversary was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I remember when he passed, my dad had a photo and then had a candle. So it's just what you were
saying. I know.
It's just something I guess everyone's doing now, guys. Yeah. We're on trends.
Well, and I was telling Vanessa, I feel, and I don't know how open I've been about this, but whenever somebody passes, obviously it depends like what their circumstances are usually, but I usually feel more connected to them because I feel like they're like omnipresent. Now, like, I feel like they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can, like, actually feel my grandma's presence without having to be in her physical presence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I feel that way too. I've lost several people in my family.
I know. And I thought of you when this happened, which I'm so glad that you're here literally a week later. This is such a blessing because I went back and I listened to that episode and I was like, oh my God, she gets it. Like she's in touch. She's in tune with what's going on.
I guess what came up as you were sharing, about being with your family after the loss. I guess I have a question for you because with my experience, it was like, all of a sudden, all of these stories started coming out about my dad, for example. Everyone that's passed. It's like these stories, all of a sudden, we're speaking about them as though it's like they've become someone new, at least for me. It was like, what? Why didn't
like
anyone
a legend
tell
almost.
Me?
I know.
About,
like, why didn't she tell me about that?
The, I don't know, Mercedes or whoever it is, I forget who it was, because actually towards the end of my mom's life, she started to have visits or memories of this woman in Nicaragua who used to, I think it was actually like an aunt. I'm sorry. I'm just like getting something. I think her name was Mercedes. I'm sorry, this is like all coming down right now. So about 3 weeks ago,
okay,
my mom's cousin passed away. Tio Carlos, or cousin Carlos, I guess that would be my cousin. And when I showed up to my aunt's house, who's my mom's sister, you know, I was just so eager to go and say, I have questions. Like, now there's someone else who's passed, and it hasn't even really been that long since the other person who has passed, which was my grandma's sister. And that was probably about 3 years ago. And so now he's passed. And now I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm on a mission now to find out who's who, writing out the tree, writing out the names, mm-hmm. who's from where, and asking the hard questions that the rest of my family hasn't asked. Because I feel as though I have a calling to do the healing and to do the work.
Right.
My practice is like definitely about that. And I'm feeling the urge to bring it to the community to say, let's go and start visiting and asking those hard questions. So I'm sitting in my aunt's bathroom like, okay, well, can you tell me about cousin Carlos? Because I heard about him maybe twice in my life. And everyone, even just the funeral was a little odd because the energy was a little strange. It's like, I haven't seen my second cousins in a while. Now it's an interesting dynamic. It was really, there were people laughing and then there were people that were crying. There were people that were not. And then it was like, we took our time to go and to do the burial, like after the wake, and the wake and the ceremony was all in the same day. And it was just a very strange experience. And he was diabetic. And from what I understood, he had a drinking problem. But he also lived a life that was very, like he lived in solitude a lot. He didn't really interact with people. And that's why you never hear stories about him, because he would always go to the room, or my aunt told me, well, I don't really remember him, because my only interaction with him was I would see him, he'd say hi, and then he'd always be in his books. So it's like all this stuff is coming up, but the pattern of alcohol is very, very alive in my family. I mean, even now, and even in myself, I abused alcohol, and I still have these struggles of like trying to create what kind of relationship am I having with alcohol itself. So these things are really coming up. But I think to go back around and ask you, Grace, how was it for you to sit with your family now after, you know, grandma's gone and she can't say anything for herself? Not physically.
Well, she was a very private person. Like, personally, she was very proud of her family and would always like brag about her family. But she was just such a stoic woman. But also very fragile mentally and emotionally. I love you, Grandma. I feel like I have to say that because I don't feel like she would want me to say that about her. But just such a strong woman overall. And I get that. Like, I get, you know, she had anxiety and depression, and I have anxiety and depression. And I saw how my mom was with her towards the end, and I now want to be there more for my mom. So many layers, girls. Ladies, lots of layers. It's like,
crazy. And it will continue to unfold. And I just want to say that that's part of the healing process. I also went through like, oh, I shouldn't say anything about my dad.
I know. I feel like she's listening. I don't want you to come to me.
But I was also frustrated at my father's funeral for people painting this picture of him that was not real, that was not sincere, which I thought was a little more disrespectful to
his memory.
Yeah. Because this is my perspective and what I've learned from just the teachings of my ancestors through my dreamscapes is that they know more than we know. And they're not living in a place that says, you can't say this. And that's culture and society. That is not like,
you're right. I think I'm more saying it for my family who's living now.
I see that makes more sense. I think that is more, I could see that. But I for my dad, it was like, even now I'm like, you know what, Dad, like, you know who you were, like, you know what I mean, you know who you were, and you know what you did. And I know that even living, he knew that it wasn't the best he could be. And the way he lived his life was a reflection of exactly how he felt about himself and how he fit into society, culture, and this new country that was new for him for a while, you know, for a little bit from Nicaragua. So that's still something that I'm looking to go and dig. And I would encourage people to ask the hard questions, because the more we know about our lineage, the more we can understand about the patterns that live in our lives, how we speak, how things taste, what mm-hmm. things inspire us. Why is it that I do things like this and no one else in my family does?
Right.
Like, right. I've discovered more because I asked the hard questions. I said, oh, so who was my great-grandfather? Oh, he was African, blah, blah, blah. Like all these. I was like, oh, well, no wonder I feel this pull to learn more about that culture. And I didn't know why.
Right.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, families can get so secretive. I tried. This is so a little silly. Do you know that show, Who Do You Think You Are? They talk about family lineage. They'll take a celebrity and show them their family tree.
Oh, don't they take them to like this museum
yeah.
or something?
So I called my dad up and I'm like, there's a show. I'm like, who am I? I can probably go back 2-3 generations at most for my family. So I asked my dad and he was very like, no, you don't really need to know. Kind of like I was blocked. And it was weird. I'm like, wait, why aren't you wanting to share this information? So I didn't speak to him for a while. We got in a random fight about it, but he's very much like, look toward the future. And a lot of people are like that. We have like similar cultures, you know, where people, they don't want to besmirch or like people who are no longer here to defend themselves. But what people forget is that we're not looking for bad things to be like, oh, it's your fault. I'm like this. It's not a blame thing. Or I'm not going to look at people any differently. I would just like to know. I'm just curious about any information I can get.
I know,
because
you're
past.
Carrying their
something.
Energy with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. We're carrying it all. And if I'm going to change something, then I'd like to know. You know, you don't know where yeah. you're going till you know where you're coming from, kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right.
So,
and I would encourage you to kind of sit with that question. Like, because it sounds, at least what it feels like when mm-hmm. you say it, it's like it's deeper than that. Like, it's deeper
it is.
Than like I just want to know who we went. No, there's something within your
yeah.
soul or spirit that's saying
I have
there
some people that'll answer
there.
Yeah, he just comes from a place more of I don't think there's deep dark secrets necessarily, but he's just kind of like, just live in the now and just move forward, which is fine. Like, that's his
yeah,
right.
And sure,
but
sure.
My uncle was really good about giving me some more information about this person, and you know, because I have so much family, I'm like, how are we all related? Some people it's blood, some it's not, but the blood relations, I you know, try to figure it out.
Yeah,
it's just fascinating.
Yeah,
to know where you're from.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's like ancestors, even though at least through my teachings with fairy tradition, it's it doesn't have to just be blood. Like those that are adopted into families, like that is those energies and those lines now intermingle as well. So that's also part of your, mm-hmm. you know, your lineage in that way. Ancestors of land and place, like where you live, how long you've been living, because you're placing your roots there. So there is lineage there too.
Yeah.
And I have a belief that your right. soul has several lives. So there's a lineage within that space as well. So, and I've talked about dreams where it's like you get all these images and I don't know where that comes from. And I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, can you ask your ancestors questions before you go to sleep, and then will they come and answer them for you?
I can answer that. Yes.
Yes. Well, Diva, didn't you have an experience a little bit you talked about last time, right?
Oh, my grandma. I asked yeah. her not to. She didn't when she passed away. And then she came to me in a dream like 6 months later or something and passed a message yes. along to my mom. So it happens.
Aww.
And that's just the way dreams are work anyway. I mean, you're the expert, so let me know if I'm fumbling this up. But you can set intentions for anything in your subconscious, and then it'll be answered or manifest in dreams sometimes.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, yes, I would agree. And yes, my answer would be yes. The same. But what I would say is my ancestors have always known when I'm ready to receive it. And I think that you may need to want to be clear about what your intentions are with
right.
that. Now, is this for you as a longing to be with her, or is there something that you're looking to create a relationship, kind of like a, how can we collaborate now to
yeah.
do with something in certain? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
She probably already knows that answer.
Right.
So
right, I know.
My mom came to me. Man, I want to say maybe a week or a week and a half after her passing. It wasn't immediate because there was so much shock and things that were happening. There were things in myself that needed to occur to then create space for mm-hmm. her to come through. And then we built a relationship because I was ready. She saw that I was ready for it and she knew what it was. I'm pretty sure she knew, okay, she's actually paying attention to what's happening. My guides have seen that as well. When my dad passed, they're like, okay, she's actually doing something with what her father is giving her and her ancestors. So that, I think, paved the way to allow my mom and my grandmother to come through and others to come through. My niece's father has come through, but we don't know if he's passed. Really, no one knows, but he came through in a dream. And in my experience, I feel pretty confident in what I have experienced, and he's come through a few times. So if you're looking to build a relationship with someone who's passed, I would recommend that you don't hold on to that too tightly, because right. you can block that communication because you're setting some kind of expectation. It's letting go of the expectation and surrendering to that a little bit more to say, and you can say it out loud, and I've said it out loud, is I am here to receive and I'm open to hear any messages that you have for me that can help you or help the family. Mm. Because I feel like it's helpful to come in a place of service first, because then it can become an interchange or like a give and give kind of a relationship later on, because they can help you and guide you in your life. They can yeah. be there, definitely. So lighting the candle the way you have for your grandmother is a wonderful start, because you're starting to do an offering for her as she's
going through. It's like a new relationship we're building.
Absolutely. Yes. It is a new relationship.
It's so beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
You guys, I wish we could just like party with the afterlife, you know. I wish there was like, I mean, Dia de los Muertos, but like for real. I mean, you know.
Well, so how would you do that? How would you celebrate? How would your grandmother celebrate?
Oh my gosh.
What was her way of
doing? Well, we celebrated her. We celebrated her in a very beautiful way. We had lots of Jewish deli food there. And yeah, I mean, she, like, her and I both like to be by ourselves and process. Yeah, so I think I've just been doing a lot of that and realizing, I don't know, I feel like I've like grown up a lot in the last couple of weeks. It's crazy how when like ancestors especially pass, like family members, how it sort of like bumps you into this new level phase of like responsibility in the family. Like yeah. now I feel way more responsibility. Like, oh man, like I gotta step it up.
Yes.
I gotta make my family proud. I gotta take care of my mom. Because I saw her take care of her mom in such a beautiful way. And now it's my turn. So it's been very, I feel like it's been a lot.
Yes, she has handed something over. Absolutely. When my mom passed, I immediately went into a depression and contemplated taking my life, because she was the one that I, in my own way, I felt like, oh, she's the one thing that I really need to take care of. Everything else doesn't really matter. And now that she's gone, right. it's like, who am I now?
Yeah.
So that question kind of appears when we're in a place of loss. But sometimes when we hit that rock bottom is when certain things open up for us totally. To have new experiences and transformation occurs. And that's how it worked for me, if we're allowing ourselves to be open to it. So definitely, yes, you get like, it's like, I don't know, kind of in a weird way, like Mario Brothers getting like a flower or something. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's strange, but that's the way.
No, that's, yeah, it, yeah. I feel that. I feel that.
But do you guys have any Do you have an altar diva for ancestors?
I don't have one specifically for ancestors. No, I just feel like my parents are good with that. You know, just kind of, I still get to be the kid, if that makes sense. And like you were talking about the baton being passed. It hasn't been passed to me, fortunately, I feel like. I have respect for my ancestors and, you know, the ones that I knew personally, like my grandmother. She was someone who was really, I admired her a lot. She sounds similar to your grandmother, and she was just, when my grandmother spoke, everyone listened, because she just was a woman with few words, but what she said was so important. And that's something that I've always tried to emulate. So I feel like for my ancestors, I kind of knowingly, unknowingly, however you want to say it, carry them with me at all times, because we do. And it's just things, I don't know why I do certain things like you mentioned, but it's from somewhere. Of course, I see things in my parents, but there's some things that are, I'm not like them. So I know it comes from somewhere, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
To me, I am the altar is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I am the altar.
That's my answer.
Yes.
No, family stuff's hard.
I want to kind of expand on that too. It's like we are all connected. I think you even mentioned this in the past, Diva, where it's like everyone came from Africa.
You sure did.
And everyone came from the ocean, and everything came from Earth, right? Mm. So I just want to mention that when we're honoring the Earth and we're taking care of that, in that sense, it's, and how we're doing with our own lineage, it's all connected. So if we work on ourselves, and then when, well, yes, if we work on ourselves, then we're doing and breaking certain habits and patterns that are living in our lives and through our bloodlines. But overall, as we're continuing to do that work, it's like a ripple effect to taking care of the earth and the things that are happening in our society and culture. I just want to mention that. The meditation that I'll be doing next month on the 2nd of March, I will be doing a meditation to help us go and visit our ancestors, do some healing on whoever wants to appear.
Oh, I love
and
that.
The 50% of the proceeds I'm going to be donating to a charity that's taking care of the oceans. I haven't decided who yet, but it's all connected. I see that it is all connected to the ultimate healing and change of this planet. Mm. So whoever wants to come to that, you're absolutely welcome.
Well, we should definitely put the details in the show notes.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
That sounds amazing. I'd love to go to that.
And we'll see. Maybe it'll be a monthly thing. I feel like it's something that is
it should be ongoing. Yeah.
Having to do every time.
I think it would be great to if we created like a new, I don't know, society, environment where we did hang out with our ancestors who had passed like once a month or something, you know, like we, you know,
just
like hang
hi.
Out,
yeah.
Give them the offerings, like, hey, hope you guys are having fun over there.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, that's so funny that you brought that up because now something else has come to mind. So, and I don't know who this will resonate for, but my dad, before he passed, A week before he passed, we had planned to meet for lunch, and I was going to meet with my half-brother, Cesar, and his wife, and their newborn kid, and my dad was like, let's just all go, and you know what, mija, I have a really bad memory these days, can you just call me and remind me about this lunch? And I said, okay, yeah, that's fine, it was going to be a week later. And before that, I swear, a few days before that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with my dad and tell him and ask him really those hard questions. Like, why is it that you left all the time? Why did you treat us the way you did? Why did you drink so much? What about Nicaragua? What happened over there that you never talk about your life there? I had to hear about some hard stuff through my mom, and it was only out of fear. Like, she was like, don't tell anybody your last name because people in Nicaragua are hunting people that are, you know, it's this like this whole lineage of things, like somebody being decapitated with the last name out there. It was just this very painful stuff. But I wanted to have that heart-to-heart conversation with him because, I don't know, something in my heart was like, I don't know if I have a lot of time. or what, I don't know what it was, but I never had the chance to have that conversation with him, because a week after that conversation with him was when I found out he had passed. And I went to a workshop with Robert Moss. He's one of my teachers, a dream worker. You guys need to look him up. He's amazing. I'm going to continue studying with him with dreams. And I went up there in November, and it was ancestral based. And we went on some shamanic journeys. And one of the journeys was to connect with one of your ancestors who has passed. If you don't know anyone, or if you're not sure of who, just leave it open. And I said, okay, I'm going to leave it open because I don't know. There's too many. Right. I was like, I really don't know.
Whoever wants to come hang out.
I'm not really sure. So I'm not going to be biased. We'll let whoever wants to come through. And in the journey, my dad came through. And it was extremely painful experience because the journey wasn't like, hey, oh my God, this big embrace and we love each other. My guides and he took me through reliving traumatic experiences. It was as though I was back to those, and it was three different blocks of experiences. And I wanted to come out of that journey. Like, I knew I was just, I could feel my chest just pounding because I was reliving the trauma. I saw it, and it was as though he was seeing the experience through my eyes.
Oh, wow.
And when I got out of the journey, I couldn't stop crying, number one. It was hard for me to come back into my body because it was like coming back to your body. It's like, oh, my God, I could feel my entire body and what it's going through. And then it was just I broke down in tears, and Robert came over and we were talking and I shared my experience. It was very difficult to share because I had to share some like abusive stuff and things. It was just a lot. And we came to the conclusion that my dad is going through a phase in his spiritual endeavor that he is now ready to go to the next level, where he needs to make peace and understand what it is that he did in this lifetime. But he can't do it alone. He can't just say, Vanessa, okay, I got to see what you went through. Okay, bye. No, I also need to do the part of letting go, forgiving, having that conversation. So what I say to the people that are listening, or to you, Grace, or Diva, whoever's going to or has lost someone who's had a painful relationship, never got to say what they needed to say, is you can do a ritual, and which is something that I need to do for this working to make it complete. Now, it's not going to be soft and rainbows and things like that, but if you're serious about the lineage and healing it, this is the kind of stuff we need to do. And what I will be doing is lighting a candle, opening up my journal, and just free writing. Lighting a candle. I'm also even going to offer my dad his favorite drink. If you want to bake something that maybe your grandma liked. And just free write and start with whatever comes out of your mind down to paper. And whatever arises, write that down as well, because there will be an interactive conversation that will happen with both your spirit and that person that has passed. And you're doing work for both of you, yes, but ultimately for the entire lineage of your family. I still need to do that. I'm going to be writing it in my calendar. I think I'm going to go actually to his grave and spending the day there. Like, no interruptions, just going to sit there, light a candle, bring a drink. I'll have a drink too, I know. Just do that. So whoever feels called to do it, I welcome you guys to do that, because it's important to do it. But my dad's continued to come in my dreams since that, and it's been a big push of like, okay, we really need to get to this, girl. What are you doing? Like, let's go. I was like, he's okay, ready. I got it. And he stopped coming to my dreams because I told him, I was like, okay, I'm going to set the date. Just help me carve open the space. But I already see it in the horizon. It'll be in a few weeks that I'll be just doing that. I don't know if that resonates with you guys or if you had.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel part of my Buddhist practice is that I do pray for my ancestors who have passed and the people in my life who have passed daily. So I do try to think about them daily and, like, you know, ring the bell and light the candle. Mm. But yeah, it's important because it's like taking time for yourself. Like, taking time for them is taking time for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I, like I mentioned, I don't really think about it daily. It's mostly, you know, when it's the anniversary of someone's passing, or, you know, you'll think about them, a song comes on, or you think about a story about them.
Or their birthday.
Birthday, of course. You know, to That's me, it's just thing. More of how I'm living and honoring their memory with certain things like they wanted from me or asked of me that maybe I wasn't able to do while they were alive, and trying to, you know, live through yeah. them or have them live through me in that way. Yeah. I feel like I always have like a team with me at all times. So I'm like making
yes.
not just my yeah. family here proud, but it's yes. like I'm making them all proud, because I've lost two cousins who were, one was 21 and my cousin passed away when he passed away. It was 2020. So I guess in 2018, and he was in his early 30s, you know? And so yeah. I feel like for them, I have to, and that's why I'm a big advocate of not complaining about life. I'm like, because there is an alternative, you know, for the people that are like, oh, another Monday, this sucks, and things like that. And I'm like, I lost my baby cousin. He was 21. I don't want to hear about you complaining about wow. anything. And he loved life, and he yes. was full of life. And I was fortunate that I spent his last birthday with him, and then he passed away shortly after. So I will never take that for granted. And that's one of the reasons why, even when I'm exhausted, if it's for family especially, I will always make the effort to show up, even if I look crazy in photos. Like his birthday, I have a photo of myself. I just flew in from a trip from work. So I just landed at like 9 o'clock that night, went home, changed, and went out. Luckily, they were down the street from where I was, my family. So I went, wished everyone happy birthday, whatever, whatever. But at least I have that memory. Like, you know what? I went out. So
yeah.
Again, to me, it's just more like, I think it is important to honor those who have passed, but it's also, you have to live your life, but also kind of live, not for them, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I always have them in mind when I do certain things, especially for my family, when it's cultural stuff. I want to be really respectful of that, because I am representing so many people that are here and, you know, quote unquote, not here. And I always think about the future generations of what they're going to say about their auntie diva, their mommy yes. diva, like the way she, because, you know, we are a representation of our ancestors and how we were raised. You know, like when my mom always told me, when you're out of the house, you represent me, your dad, your siblings, like I represent my whole family. So think about that generationally, and also going backwards. I think that's one of the yes. reasons too. I'm curious about my ancestors yes. as well, just to see how they lived. And when I see certain people have their family trees, and you can see, oh, this is why you're like that, or you like music, you get it from this person. To me, all that stuff is just really fascinating. So
it is fascinating. Yeah. And just to add to thinking about the future, there are indigenous and native peoples that have spoken about, and how they've taught their children was to think about seven generations ahead mm-hmm. and in everything we do. So it's not just like how we are living in community, but it's how we're treating this planet. I'm going to come back to that.
Please always do. We've been talking about the planet a lot here lately too.
It is so important how it is that we're treating our bodies, number one, and then how that's reflected in our home and our environment, how we're treating our animals at home and in our environment, and so on and so forth. So I feel like that's what you were kind of talking about, yeah. too. It's not just like how I speak to somebody, but it's also how, what am I doing with my, like, my life choices?
Yeah, because it's so connectedness is not just the people in your life. It's everyone. We're all connected, and wherever you're listening to this, I'm connected to you, you're connected to me,
yes.
past ancestors,
my
future,
because yes.
there's no time, you know, like, I don't want to get too like into quantum physics and all that stuff, but, you know, like, there's this moment that we have in time, but we're connected to everyone at this moment in time, and yes. people don't really grasp that until it affects them on, you know, their level,
a personal level,
exactly,
yeah.
then it affects them, you know, because yes. we all deal with death and life you know?
Yes.
And the earth, but don't get me started.
Or let's get started. Don't get me started. It's important. It's an important conversation to talk about it. So if you guys know of any charities that you would want to have this meditation go, like the funds to go, I would love to hear from your listeners. If there's somebody like, oh my God, these guys are doing really great things, I would love to hear from them. But there is a charity that I was looking at that's talking about educating people about plastic and the effects of that on the planet as well. Yeah. What are we doing?
Are there people that still don't know what plastic is doing in 2020 is my question.
I don't know
what you're doing. You're making that
but
choice.
You know what the education may be for children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, why not? Because are their parents telling their kids about
what's going on? Did we talk about this? I remember being a kid and recycling was such a big deal. What happened to that?
No, we talked about that. Yeah, it's I've recycled my whole life.
It's always the question in my head: is this recyclable? Whenever I go to like throw something away, but that like, how do we get here?
Yeah, but I also use the same water bottle all the time.
Yeah,
it's not plastic. That's the other thing too that you can definitely do. I always think about like, okay, can I actually take a container to a restaurant so they could put the food in there and I could just like reuse the container? I'm actually contemplating starting to do that because I go to the same places all the time. So if anybody feels encouraged,
why even went somewhere and reused a shopping bag that they gave me? They're like, you brought this back to use? I'm like, yeah, why? I mean, it was still perfectly fine.
Usable.
In the content, I'm like, you just use this again. They're like, that's amazing. I'm like, doing my part, guys.
It's 2020. Here we are.
My Nobel Peace Prize right now. Oh, reusing a bag. Groundbreaking.
Wow. So I was just thinking about like this, you know, the funeral that I went to and how I feel like for a long time I kind of kept my family at a distance and so I wouldn't go to functions or anything like that. And now that I'm working on myself, it's like, oh, I see the value in it.
Now I gotta spend time with my family.
Like, what's that cousin's name again? I forget, but still.
And
like,
also if you don't, then you're literally just seeing family at funerals. Do you know what I mean? We're at that age. And I'm like, someone please, God, get married. I need a wedding to see all you people.
Oh my God.
Oh man, sad. Can we have a celebration? Although, I mean, passing can be a celebration.
Yeah,
of
and there's always
kind.
Babies. There's usually babies involved whenever there's passing. Like my cousins, I got to meet my, it was the first time I met them. I met my cousins, two little girls, both Aries.
Yeah.
They were very intense.
Taking over the world.
Oh my God.
There are no more babies in my family. And that's the thing. Now I'm like, oh my God, it's up to me. That's the baton I think that's been passed to me. I'm like, it's my turn. I must give birth to a child to keep the family going. My cousin's getting married this year, so she can have it. I'm like, it's all you, girl. You catch me next year.
Yeah,
maybe. We'll see.
I don't know if I'll have children. No,
I know. How do we feel? That's a great generational question.
Yeah.
How do we feel about having kids, you guys?
I must have children. That's I've always
You're
wanted to be
that?
A mom. Yeah. Not as my mom is a woman who's always wanted to be a mom. That's her favorite thing in life is being a mom.
Like, that's my destiny.
She loves it. That's, I don't know if I'm as intense. I'd like to have children. I think it'd be great. I don't know if it's like my
non-mom.
I was always
to have children
in family functions. I was always running with the baby. I'm like, I'll watch the baby. Like the moms loved me. Like, TV will watch him. Like kids loved me. And I'm so maternal in that way. I know kids love me.
I do better with teenagers. I don't do well with
boarding
infants.
School. That's what I call boarding school. My mom's like, you're not doing that. I'm like, okay, then they're going to come live with you. I cannot with teenagers. I cannot. When I was a teenager, I did not like teenagers.
Oh, you're like, God, I didn't even like myself.
They're just so entitled for no reason. Especially the younger ones. I'm like, you don't even drive. You have acne. Like, what are you contributing to the world? Nothing. You know? And they're sassy.
Oh my God.
I love that sassiness though.
And now they're calling themselves the greatest generation.
Ooh, are they?
I know. I'm like,
okay,
one step at a time.
The greatest generation.
I've
like, we're not done yet. Okay,
nah, please.
I'm not done yet.
I've
wait your turn.
The person that's like seen myself in the future that didn't have children.
Yeah.
I've never seen myself to be a mother, although I feel like that still doesn't mean I don't care for like children.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're going to like kick a kid or something.
But for me, I've just take that role so seriously. I think I would love so painfully. It's just, that's what is, I think it might be a sense of fear, but also like this responsibility of what it's not. Just
it's a
like,
huge
oh,
deal.
It's cute or
it's
a little
huge.
Mean.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
I just know
like,
that's
my best
not
friend.
Just it.
No,
it's like, it's there's, more, this is yeah. somebody who is going to be either that you would hope would be contributing to society.
Exactly. That's my main goal. It's not to have a child just for the sake of having it or to get my mom off my back. she's actually calmed down with all that stuff. But it is like, I want to create, birth someone who contributes to society. There's only so much I can do in my lifetime. And I'd like to be able to raise someone who, there's just such a mess out there with the world. I just,
but the other thing that I do want to say is that like, you know, we can influence the individual, but ultimately that person's going to be who they're going
right.
to be.
I always think about,
I'll
I'm
be
like,
damned.
I have to plan for my child to be crazy and like all of the above, like have all the substance abuse issues, have all the like, have all the psychological, I just have to plan for that. Yeah. Like I have to be ready for that and then hope that they are not that.
Not that.
But I will love them anyway.
Regardless, we love them anyway. But I come from the Jackie O school of parenting where your children fear you even in death. Okay?
Right,
she was
I remember
revered.
You saying
yes,
that.
Even
I love
in
that.
Death, her kids revered so her. Funny. That'll be me. I mean, that's how my parents are. I mean, here's the thing. I'm independent. I do what I want. But my parents have heavily, heavily influenced the person that I am. And I just feel like that's just how my family is. And I'd like it to continue on to the next generation.
Because you see the jewel in the gem in having that influence.
And family is so important. Okay. I had so much fun growing up as a kid. And we had so many family functions. So family is so important to me, just keeping us all together. And I've been really good about advocating us seeing more of each other outside of the holidays and trying to get together. There's a lot of us.
Outside of the holidays.
It's so hard to get us all together. But my immediate family, we now have family Sundays where even if we can't all be there, we're still having it. So it's going to stay on the books once a month, no matter what. We'll have
I'm telling
dinner.
You, they're the Kardashians of Valencia.
We don't mess around.
Keeping up with the Kakan. Mondays.
My extended cousins and family. It's just, I don't know. Family is so important.
I think they do. I think the Kardashians do that too, don't they? They have like
family dinners
on Sundays.
I mean, everyone has family dinners. I guess we can't like take credit for that.
I don't have family dinners.
You have your dinners with your dogs. Right. Your family. But that's a family. I'm fortunate. Yeah. I have my family here. It's ridiculous that I don't see them often. When I was a kid, there would always be someone at my parents' house. Like we were always at someone's house on the weekends. Like that was just little simple things we did just to stay connected. And I get it. People live far away now. We're all older. We have our own lives, but I don't want to lose that community. And also, you know, I'm an immigrant, so we wanted to keep a part of our culture. So if you have someone who speaks your language,
I love
you. You keep them close.
I love immigrants. Yeah. We're all immigrants, aren't
we're all
we?
Immigrants.
Yeah, we're all immigrants.
Yes.
We're all immigrants of the world.
But I do want to say something like about how the way your parents have influenced you, meaning all of us, have influenced or the way they brought you up may work for you, but may not work for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
I
oh, for
feel
sure.
like each individual, just like at a job, right? It's like, I would think that the job would say, oh, but let me get to see what influences or inspires Vanessa. And that may not be the same thing as it does for Grace.
Oh, for sure.
Or
for
Diva.
And I'm adaptable, but there are, I think, foundational things that they've done that I think is great. And there's things my parents aren't perfect. Listen, you know, I may wax on about them like every week, but they're not perfect people. There are things I would never do. And just like the way they were raised, there are things that they've done, but things they haven't done. The way that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it changes with every.
Yes.
But for us, family comes first. So that's something I feel like I can pass on. And my dad was very much like, we'll give you all the trust, put all the trust and faith in me until I gave them reason not to. So it's not like, where are you going? You know, my parents trusted me and I didn't want to betray their trust. And I think people need that. Kids need structure, but they also need some freedom to express themselves and to be an individual.
Have the opportunity, right?
Yeah. Because you can make mistakes. you know, that's fine. That's growth. That's being human. And your parents are there if you make a mistake. Because I had friends, their parents were so strict. Because I thought my parents were strict. But so every little thing, where'd you go? If they were a minute late from home, why were you home late? Blah, 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 like all these things. My parents never questioned any of that. They're, I trust you until you give me a reason not to. So I think, again, it would be nice to know where they, you know, how they were raised with their, because my dad had a completely different childhood as me. He doesn't really talk about it a lot, but he was, I think he moved out, I don't know the age, maybe 19. He left his dad's, so I'm like, I'm going to do it on my own. Like, and that's been him, where I kind of, you know, like I'm independent, but sometimes like, mom, I need your help. Please help me. But my mom, again, they love being parents, so they're always there. But
wow.
Yeah. I know, I lucked out. I really did. And I know I did. So I'm very grateful. And that's why I'm like, I'm going to be the kid for as long as I can. Yes. And when that day when I have to be the matriarch of the family, I am ready for it. Like, I've been almost prepped for this my whole life. I guess we all are in some degree, because that's the weird circle of life. I'm just hoping it's not for a really, 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 really long time. Like a really, really long time. I have plans. I have things to do.
God laughs at plans.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, he does. That should be an episode.
Yeah.
All the times.
Yes. No. I'm all about surrendering right now.
I had no choice. I have to surrender.
All right. Yeah. Sure. Let's just do it, I guess. I guess I'll be doing this ritual with my dad. Surrendering.
That sounds
Let's
like a good ritual.
I think it's probably this time. I feel like it's going to be huge healing for me, and I'll be able to say the things that I've been really wanting to say.
Yeah.
I'm speaking about throat chakra. I think we had mentioned.
Yes, throat chakra is next.
We want to hear next time you're on the show. We want to hear how it goes. So there's a time limit
now
on this.
There's accountability going
on. We love accountability. Dun, dun, dun. I think we had an accountability episode. It's all about accountability.
It always is.
Yeah.
And then I'm curious, before we wrap up, has the passing for you as well, Grace, does it change your relationship with the family that's still here? Like, or do you think, I know you're asking more questions, Vanessa, but you and your mom, do you think it's brought you guys closer?
Totally. I feel way more compassion towards my mom. Aww. I feel more of, like I said, like a duty to like take care of her.
How old is your mom now? If she doesn't mind.
Yeah, maybe.
She's
old enough to be her mom.
She's old enough to be my mom. I mean, I don't think she's old at all.
Well, when
so
you
I want to
say, take care
say,
of her, like.
I mean, oh
sense?
No, she's fine.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's what she meant.
Yeah. Oh, she's she's like has more energy than I do. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I guess you're looking into the future, like, oh, I see how that role.
Well,
I'm
starting to think like, okay, like now I don't even. Before I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about taking care of my mom. I just take care of myself. And like also, you know, and like then have kids and like whatever. I don't take care of them. But now I'm like, end game. I need to be able to take care of my mom. Like when she gets to be 92. Like, because goals, she's going to live past 92. These are goals.
We all are.
Yeah, we all are.
Listen to research.
But I need to make a lot of money.
Same.
That's gonna happen.
That's not even family
related.
And
it started making me just think more like an adult, I feel. Like more just like I gotta get a little more responsible. Like I was telling Vanessa before we started recording, I felt my grandma the other day. Like it was yesterday. I felt her. I felt her like almost like I was channeling her, like she was in my body, and she was like, girl, it's a mess in here.
Stop. Thanks,
she's like,
grandma.
You need to clean this shit up. She didn't use that language, but like in so many words, she was like, you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your mind. You got to take care of your soul.
Yes,
and
grandma.
Like, yeah. And because I got to take care of everyone else,
you do. I
you
mean,
know, I mean, we got, but we got to take care of ourselves if we're going to take care of other
for
people.
Sure. Yes.
And at a certain point, you know, we cannot take care of ourselves anymore. It's like we start off not being able to take care of ourselves and we're an infant. We have to trust the people around us. And then we get to that stage, hopefully, if we're blessed enough to live that long, where we then can't take care of ourselves again. We got to take care of the elderly, you guys.
We
love the children's hospitals, but we need more like geriatric help.
I totally
and also, but I will say though, too, just that. I'm like, For me, I will be taking care of myself till 92. There's a support system thing. No, but there is what my father says as well. He's like, he doesn't, because in our culture, older people sometimes move in. Like, my grandfather lives with my parents. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My dad, my mom was like, I'll just live with you. And my dad's like, why? Like, for him, he's going to be a full functioning. And I know that you're not saying that you're going to be like some old lady drooling. That's not what you're meaning. But I think
ideally,
we should be really,
no,
yeah,
but,
careful.
Know, if it happens,
I don't need
it happens.
To be taken care of in my 90s. I will be taking care of myself. Just want you, your kids to know that. Mama still got it.
Yeah.
I'm reading books. So that'll be another episode. I'm reading a lot of books,
oh
guys, about aging well.
Yes.
So, God
and
willing.
My therapist just told me today something, a little tip if you're Ooh. Trying to avoid dementia.
Nice.
It apparently mood swings can rapidly increase the chances of dementia. So, like, keeping a stable mood.
Vanessa,
so, like,
my face right now, we're like, what?
Like,
what?
Like staying calm.
I'll say calm.
Like,
so, like, just don't feel anything.
Yeah.
Well, I
or
get,
just be
well,
chill.
I think she was probably talking to me because she was like, girl, you need to stop with these panic attacks. You know, like, you got to calm the fuck down. We all need to take a lesson from Taylor and just calm down.
Calm down. Yes.
Well, okay. I mean, we were talking about meditation before we actually started recording and how important that is. So
stillness. Oh my stillness. God! Can you just touch on that a little? A little bit.
Real quick, hot sec, hot sec.
Yeah,
on
hot
stillness.
Sec. Yes, stillness and how important that is. I started practicing that a little bit more, but it's so important because I think we're so much in our mind that stillness will allow us to be in the heart center ultimately, and so when we work from our heart center, we can move from soul and spirit and purpose. So if anybody wants to kind of calm the mind as much as possible, I would say let's do 10-minute meditations once a day if you just want to start with that, and you'll see some shifts. So for you, keep doing what you're doing or add yeah. meditation, because I could see how bringing things, staying calm most of the time. I think that's what they're saying. It's like,
that is the goal being. And also what you were saying, staying calm is, you know, similar to stillness. Yeah. And also similar to what we were talking about, sustainability. Sustainability is slowing down mm-hmm. and like just, you know, one step at a time, everyone.
It always comes back to meditation.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Always.
It does.
So thank you so much for coming back,
I know,
Vanessa.
Thank
this
you.
Has been so lovely.
So
thanks
amazing.
For allowing me to talk about my family and your
yeah,
family.
I mean,
oh
that's what
thank
I do
you
every
for,
week. So.
I know.
Ancestors and so important, guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And until next time, we're going to hold you to
next
it.
Time.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you
bye.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.